Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Let's Talk About It Tuesday. And, boy, did we have some stuff to talk about. Oh, we started off talking about that news story. The man killed on the soccer field. The ex-wife and the boyfriend and then went off and killed himself. What are we doing? What are we doing to the children? And the Tennessee pastor who said, hey, you better not wear no mask up in here. I'm kicking you out. Yeah, what is the world coming to? What is the church world coming to? And that sparked our conversation as to why people leave the church. They're not waiting to get kicked out these days. And you need to leave folk alone. If all you got to do is worry about them wearing a mask. So, you know, the due time crew. Yes, we had the whole crew on yesterday. Join in Minister AJ. And we got to talking about why folk say they left the church. Well, you know this one. Ah, church hurt. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That church hurt thing, that comes in many shapes, forms, and fashions. You don't know what is church hurt these days. You know, people go to church and, you know, it's supposed to be perfect there. And it would be a wonderful world if it was. But, unfortunately, we're dealing with people talking about you. Yes. And, you know, sometimes people come from such a hard background that even something like people talking about me can really, really, really cause such hurt that they just take off and they don't go back. Members who don't get along. Yep. People fight up in church too. Oh yeah. And again, you know, it was pointed out that people are going through something. We don't know what that something is. And they're needing to get away. And how are we getting away when the things that happen in the street are happening in the church? Well, I want to tell you this. If you're looking for that great big change to take place by people, in the church, oh, you really gonna be disappointed, because the people in the street are the people who go to church, and not all of them have been delivered, converted, yeah, whatever you want to call it, and they're taking those same nasty habits into the church. And we're going to have to realize that, unfortunately, we may deal with some things that happen in the street, and that's going to happen in the church. Yeah. So you're going to have to bolster up, put on that full armor of God. Yes. Starting with that helmet down to them sandals. Yeah. You're going to have to get it together. And you're going to have to deal with it. Now, there's certain things that you just can't deal with, such as a shiesty pastor or things that are going on in the church that leadership does. Now, that's a little different. That's a little different. If leadership is chaotic and out of order, then you might have to get up out of there. If they're not teaching you the truth, yes, if you go to church and you can't find the things that they're saying in the Word of God, if you don't get directed to Scripture, yeah, you better, you might need to find someplace else. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some of the other stuff that we, you know, use as to why we don't go to church, then, hey, what's going on? Distractions are the biggest thing that, you know, keep us out of the church. And we talked about, what are those distractions? Yeah, well, your personal problems are a distraction. Yes, you're so sucked up into the world of chaos in your own life that God can't get no time from you. Yeah, can you believe we talked about all this stuff yesterday? Mm-hmm. We sure did. I mean, all this stuff. Let's see what else we talked about. We talked about money. Yes, money, a distraction. You know, Brother Al talked about, which we have talked about a few times over here on his due time, talked about that money line that goes on during church service. All you want to do is go in there and get the Lord, drop your one little plate time, and be on about your business. And they just keep dragging you back to the collection plate. Well, that serves as a heavy distraction for some people. Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does. And might I say, a turn off. Yes. So, you know, it's funny because now that some of us still have not gone back to resuming our church attendance live, I wonder what they did when we were out. Yeah. I wonder what they did when we were out, because they sure couldn't pass no collection plate around no 3-4 times. Yeah, whatever you got, you better be happy. All righty. So those are the things we talked about yesterday and some more. So make sure you go back and listen. You know how we do. Go back and listen. Well, today is Wow Wednesday. Oh, God has brought us safely to the middle of the week. And some people call it hump day, but we call it Wow Wednesday, because we got to get those things in our life that make us go wow. Yes. And we're going to start with our girlfriend Vivian and her socially conscious segment. And then we're going to have the ladies, yes, the women of worship, our Techie Talk, and our Faith Over Fear segment. So we've got a full day ahead of you. And I say let's get to taking our little break so we can get back and get our day started, okay? So go get that healthy breakfast. Go phone a friend, text a friend, let that friend know. It's Wow Wednesday over here on the Zoo Time, and they don't want to miss it, okay? Sit tight. We'll be right back.
What is a medical emergency?
It's chest pain, shortness of breath that can signal a heart attack.
It's difficulty speaking, sudden weakness on one side of the face, an arm, or a leg that can signal a stroke.
Medical emergencies are the same as they were before the coronavirus struck, and it's just as important to seek care fast.
Because when it comes to your health, time can be the difference
between life and death.
Well, good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday. Yes, middle of the week. We do it big. Yes, we do. And we're not going to waste any more time. We're going to get our girlfriend Vivian here. So we can talk about our socially conscious issues. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well. Thank you, Vivian. How are you?
I am tired, but I am well. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I guess we're going to have to get on up, girl. What you got for us today?
All right. Today on Socially Conscious, we're going to get to those COVID numbers. Top five states and territories with the highest COVID cases reported in the last 7 days are Florida, still number one, with 57,161 cases. That is an increase of over 21,000 cases since last week's report. Texas is number two with 34,666 cases. That is an increase of over 12,000 cases since last week. Number three is California with 18,208 cases in the last 7 days. That is an increase of over 6,000 cases since last week's report. Missouri is number four with 16,839 cases, another increase of over 2,000 cases since last week's report. And number five is Louisiana with 14,242 cases in the last 7 days. So once again, another week of all increases and some really high numbers. And thus, the CDC has officially reversed indoor mask policy, saying people and children should wear masks indoors in places with high COVID cases. Experts say that the Delta variant is expected to cause another surge of COVID, and that schools and large businesses are expected to open up and allow people to, you know, come back to work and allow children to come back to school fully in person starting in September. The CDC is pushing back those policies now to be prepared for this surge and for, you know, the meeting in person coming up very shortly. So unfortunately for vaccinated people, they're saying even if you are fully vaccinated, wear your mask indoors. And now for some local news, a woman in South Carolina who mistook a random car for her Uber was found stabbed at least 120 times. 21-year-old Samantha Josephson got into a car thinking it was her Uber ride back home. But when she realized she was wrong, she found herself trapped in the back seat because Nathaniel Rowland had the childproof locks on. This incident took place back in 2019, and the trial just recently took place. I'm pretty sure it was everywhere at that time, and it prompted Uber and a lot of these car services to implement some big changes. Well, like I said, the trial just happened for Mr. Rowland, and it brought out a lot of details of the story. Experts say based on the evidence found in the trash can of Mr. Rowland's girlfriend's house, they know he used a double-blade knife to stab her over 100 times. Because of the wounds on her hands and body and footprints on the car window, they know she fought back. Samantha was found only 65 miles from where she was last seen. And if convicted, Mr. Rowland faces life in prison. So we've heard tons of these types of stories where people mistakenly get into the wrong car thinking that it's their Uber or their Lyft. Or they get into the right car, but the driver, you know, kidnaps them, rapes them, and things like that. So we just want to go over, or I just want to go over some tips that we're giving to make sure that you keep yourself safe when you're getting into these Ubers, into these Lyfts and whatever other car services that are out there. So the tips are, first, make sure that the license plate matches the license plate on the app and that the driver looks like the driver that they're telling you is picking you up. Secondly, before getting into the car, make sure that the child safety lock is not activated on the car. If you don't know, you'll find that on the inside of the door. Make sure you share your location and whereabouts with someone you trust. Never accept anything from the drivers, meaning drinks and food or anything like that. And lastly, be aware. Don't be back there on your phone, not paying attention to where the driver is going. And if you feel uncomfortable, speak up. Worst case scenario, jump out of the car, which would be possible if you made sure that the child safety lock is not activated on the door of the car. So our next story is of Ronnie O'Neill. This story has really gone viral. People are just amazed at how crazy this story is. So if you haven't heard, Ronnie O'Neill was arrested back in 2019 for killing his girlfriend and their 9-year-old autistic and disabled daughter, and also for the attempted murder of their 8-year-old son. Ronnie O'Neill represented himself during trial, and he claims he killed Kenyetta, his girlfriend, after she killed their daughter and set the house on fire. The then 8-year-old son, he's now 11 years old, he survived this ordeal, and he had to testify against his father. He said he told everyone that he witnessed his dad shoot his mother with a shotgun. His mother was able to escape from the house where he saw his father chase her. Witnesses are saying he beat her with the shotgun and then shot her and killed her outside. He came back inside the home and he pretty much hacked the girl, the little girl, with an axe. And he forced the little boy to help him, forcing him to hold the gun that shot his mother, forcing him to go get a knife. And then he turned around and stabbed the little boy and tried to set him on fire. So the trial just happened, even though the incident happened back in 2019, the trial has just taken place. And Mr. O'Neill has been sentenced to 3 life sentences without the possibility of parole. And in addition, he has gotten 60 years total for child abuse, arson, and other charges. The young boy has been adopted by the detective who responded to the call. The detective said it was a call from God that caused him to adopt this young boy. The judge denied the motion for a retrial. And this story has just again going viral because it is the craziest story anybody has ever heard in a really long time. And I'm just happy that the little boy is okay and that he has been adopted. But if you haven't heard and if you're interested, it's everywhere. So go and check it out. Next story, we've heard Pastor Charlotte and other members of the Do Crime crew say often how people do not respect church like they used to. And our next story, there is no better example of this. Officials say a homeless man was shot during an argument over a dice game that was taking place on the steps of the Ponce Presbyterian Church in Atlanta. Reports say the argument led to gunshots and the victim was shot at least 3 times in the leg. The victim was able to run to a nearby gas station for help and was rushed to the hospital and is now in critical condition. The identity of the victim was not released and there has been no arrest made. So they're playing dice on the steps of a church, and then they get into arguing about this dice game, and they start shooting on the steps of the church. So if that's not an example of how disrespectful people are, I don't know what else will be. And then next we have a bit of a happy story. Students at Clark Atlanta University woke up to a big surprise. They are saying that a lot of students were unable to register for 4-semester classes due to outstanding balances. So the university decided to cancel around 900 students' debts, totaling at about $2 million in this predominantly black university. This will now allow students to continue their college education. During an interview, the university president, Dr. George French, said, quote, "Our students, like many students around the world, were adversely affected financially, mentally, and in all sorts of ways during the pandemic, and we wanted to find a way to help them." So they went ahead and they canceled those debts so that these children can get back to their education. And now for our wow story of the week. A baby in Chicago breaks the record as being the youngest victim of gun violence to date. 1-month-old Terri-Ann Smith was shot in the head earlier this month while sitting in the car seat of her mother's car. Reports say that she and her mother were parked at 66 in Halsted in Chicago when 3 men jumped out of a black Jeep and started firing in all directions at around 8 p.m. Police say that there were 6 adults who got shot, and little Terri-Ann was shot in the head. Police came and rushed the baby to the hospital, where she had to undergo emergency surgery. Terri-Ann never stopped breathing, but the bullet was lodged in her head, and it did not puncture her brain. Her mom says she never thought the baby was going to die because the baby just looked at her like, quote, "Mama, what happened?" end quote. The mom says Chicago is the worst, and she is looking to get her baby out of Chicago as soon as possible. So thankfully, again, little Terri-Ann survived, and she is expected to make a full recovery. But what a record to break, 1-month-old being a victim of gun violence. Gun violence is definitely getting out of hand, and we know we have to know that God has some big plans for Terri-Ann. For her to be 1 month being shot in the head and surviving that. This has been Vivian with The Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories that you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM, and come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners, and thank you, Pastor Steph.
Wow. Excuse me. Thank you, Vivian. Thank you for updating us on quite a few things here, enlightening us on quite a few things here. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, it's interesting. I was looking at some news the other day, and they were talking about what they felt was the biggest reason why the numbers are so high. And they were saying that it wasn't the Delta variant It was people not wearing their masks. And mm-hmm. I don't know, Viv. You know, how could you honestly say that that's the reason why, or one was bigger than the other? You're talking about 50,000, 34,000, 18,000 plus numbers. That ain't coming from people just not wearing no masks.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a combined issue. You know what I'm saying? If you wore your mask, you would more than likely be mostly protected. You know, nothing's 100%, so you'd be mostly protected. But I'm not believing the okie doke. You're not going to tell me that that's the reason why it's not the new variant. It's the non-wearing of the mask. I ain't buying it. What do you think?
I agree, because I feel like they don't want us to, I guess, know that maybe these vaccines aren't working like they thought it was going to work, because a lot of people have gotten it. I know that there's still a lot of people that, you know, they take off these masks and they walk around, because people who are fully vaccinated were allowed to walk around without their masks. So now you have people who aren't vaccinated that just don't pretend that they are and take off their masks. So, yeah, that played a big part. But it can't be, like you said, that can't be the only reason or the biggest reason that these numbers are going up. I think that these vaccinations just aren't working like they thought it was going to work.
Well, they did say that this Delta variant is much, much worse than the first mm-hmm. strain, and that the vaccination would not be as effective, because
right.
that's not what they were planning for.
Right.
So first of all, let's be honest. Let's be honest. Could you really guarantee anything, even with the vaccination? It was a nice, attempt to keep the numbers down and to help to protect people. So I'm not beating you up, you know, for the fact that, you know, the vaccination came out and here's what, you know, you're offering people as an alternative to wearing masks, because that's the first thing, that was one of the sell points. You know, hey, you know, get vaccinated. You don't have to wear a mask. And here, as soon as the vaccination starts, Viv, here comes this Delta variant, which,
right.
again, was much stronger. So they did say that they were not prepared with the vaccination, was not equipped to handle the Delta variant, which would be much worse. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, people let their guard down, you know, thinking that they were protected. Like you said, the others who feigned that they were, you know, vaccinated. So you got all of these combination of things that are really aiding to the surge. I could not believe when you said in 1 week, 51,000 people. What in the world? How do you affect that many? This is crazy. This is crazy. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers are crazy. 51,000 people getting sick. 34,000 people. Nah, this is a combination of everything. There's no one thing going to make this happen like this with vaccination
right.
in place. You know, we did the first, you know, first round. Of course you're going to get, you know, these kind of numbers, because no one knew. But no, when you got the vaccination on board, you got people who are still wearing masks. You have people who were vaccinated who never took off their masks. They still
right.
walked around with their masks. I know several people who still say, you know, yeah, I'm vaccinated, but I'm not taking the mask off. So I don't know. This Uber thing, oh, my goodness gracious. This Uber incident is, wow. Stabbed 120 times. Wow. That's scary. And you're right, we have to make sure that, you know, although this happened, you know, a couple of years ago, we got to make sure we're safe, we stay safe. And you know what, Vivian? Stop staying out so late or going out so late. stop. A lot of this stuff
right.
doesn't happen during the daytime. So, you know what? Get somewhere and stay put late at night. That way,
mm-hmm.
you know, this will cut down. Because generally, in the daytime, people are alert that you're moving around. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You didn't tell your
yeah.
girlfriend or your mom or your sister or somebody. You've told them that you're moving around. You know, activity is going on, and people kind of know what you're doing. But at nighttime, a lot of people don't know the movement that goes on. And I'm sure they get a lot of late-night riders. And man, oh, man, oh, man, Vivian, this is just... This, Lord have mercy. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
there's one other thing I wanted to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's a very scary thing. I want you to go over those. Please go over those safety tips again before we let you go.
Okay. They're saying that if you're going to ride in an Uber or Lyft or any of those car services, to first make sure that the license plate on the car matches the license plate on your app, because they do tell you, like, hey, Christopher is coming in a black Honda Civic. License plate number is this. So make sure the car matches, make sure the driver matches, and make sure the license plate matches with who they're telling you is coming. Secondly, make sure before you get inside the car, make sure you check to make sure that the child safety lock is not activated on the door. Again, if you don't know where the child safety lock is, when you open the door on the, not inside the car, but on the inside of the door, that's where the child safety lock is. So make sure that it is not activated before you get inside the car. Secondly, share your location with and your whereabouts with people that you trust. Make sure that someone knows that you're leaving where you were, that you're getting into this car, and make sure that somebody can see your location on their phone. They have, you know, ways that you can share your location with someone. Like if you have an iPhone and they have an iPhone, someone can actively see your location moving as you're moving. Secondly, pay attention. Make sure that you're not in the back seat on your phone and you're not paying attention to where the driver is taking you. If he's making wrong turns, speak up. And if you feel uncomfortable, say something. Or in worst case scenario, jump out of the car and don't take anything from the drivers. Don't take any food. Don't take any treats. Don't take any water from them, because there has been stories where people were date raped while in the Uber. So make sure you're not accepting anything from the drivers. And, those were the tips.
Oh, those are some good tips. Those are some good tips. And thank you so much for thinking about incorporating that into your segment. So we thank you for giving us this news today, our socially conscious segment, and we pray you have a blessed day.
You too.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ah, we got a lot to talk about this morning. Let's say good morning to our Elder Nitesha. Good morning, Elder Nitesha.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am great, my beautiful family. Glad to be on with you all today.
Ah, we're happy to have you. We're happy to have you. All right, Elder Nitesha, you know how we do. We are going to go over some of the stuff that Vivian gave us today. Which one do you want to talk about today?
All of them were, just jarring. I guess we could talk about the shooting on the church steps. I think, we've all really been talking about how people just really don't have regard for the church anymore. You know, back in the day when you walked by the church, even when you was in the world coming from the club, you would put your alcohol to the side. You would not curse, you know what I mean? you know, even the ones that was out there strung out on crack, when they walked past the church, they would make the cross. You know what I mean? But now we've gotten so brazen to where we're playing dominoes on the steps of the church. I think that says a lot about where we are as a country and as a people.
Well, girl, they're shooting dice on the steps.
Right. That's
so
what I mean. Shooting dice.
Like you said, it's just, how do you, but my thing is, what frame of mind are you in to be throwing the dice? You throwing the dice, Elder Natisha snapping your finger, you know, give me that
right.
Seven. It's like, where does your head go in order to freely and clearly not think about where you are? Wow.
Right.
Wow.
You have such blatant disrespect and disregard for the idea of this being God's house, right? Like, that's
right.
How you're
right.
Taught back in the day. And I think, you know, as parents, we have a responsibility to continue to teach our kids that the church is God's house. Regardless of how we
Absolutely.
Feel about it, what our opinions are, we still have a responsibility to teach so that we can have some reverence and respect.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ah, thank you for getting us started. And we're going to hit our girl, Lady Tamika. Good morning, Lady Tamika. Are you there? Uh-oh.
Good morning. Good morning. Good a.m. Good morning to everybody. Where my kingdom carriers at? No time for sleeping. The world needs you. Show yourself. Show yourself. Holler at me. Where are you?
We're not on the church step shooting dice.
No, we're not. We're definitely not out there.
Good morning. What's your thought on being on the church steps shooting dice?
I'm definitely chiming in with Elder Natisha. There are so many different things that are playing a role because there is that lack of respect for the house of God. You know, there's graffiti on the church walls, you know, people stealing statues and playing dice. And I mean, you know, there was, back then, there was so much honor and respect. If you were playing music across the street, you know, and or you were riding by, you turned your music down and you gave some honor. And then you got across the street and you did whatever it is that you wanted to do. There was no cursing, no smoking. I mean, now we on the church steps playing, you know. I've just seen so much that there's just no honor and no degree of respect. And so, you know, it started from dice and now death on the front steps. There's, you know, there's nothing else left.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, I mean, already, you know, when you're gambling, or especially that dice shooting, you know, people get serious about their money. So, already run the risk of, you know, any kind of violence or upset place while you're in, you know, this crap game. But now you know things gonna go chaotic. You on the steps of the Lord. You don't even stand a chance
Correct.
Of nothing
Absolutely.
Going right. Wow. All righty. News story caught your attention this morning, Lady Tamika?
The 1-month-old shot in the head. Like, you just got here. You haven't, you know, really lived life at 1 month. And you know, you're just sitting there minding your business. And, you know, we talked about, if I'm not mistaken, I try my best to listen in, but was Chicago the state
yep.
that had
yep.
the decrease in
yep.
police officers?
Yep.
So
yep.
that's just making it so much clearer how serious Chicago's detriment is for, you know, if a 1-month-old can get shot in the head just sitting in a vehicle, my goodness, you know, where's the coverage and what do you do at this point? Who do you go to? Who do you, I mean, you can't put in a complaint. My child was shot in the head. And a lot of times in these instances when children are struck with or struck in the head or wherever with a gunshot wound, there's no one to go to. I thank God that she's still living.
Amen, amen, amen. Elder Natisha, what's your thought on this particular news story?
No, I think, again, right, it tells the state of the world. I think all of, the Bible says all of creation is moaning and groaning. And I think that it's all of this. It's all of the stories that we hear on a daily basis that reveal to us that we are in need of a Savior. Like, we are in our sinful state as humans, as people, and we're in need of a Savior. And when you start seeing, you know, reckless behavior that results, because that's what that is, it's reckless behavior, it's a disregard for human life, that you would just aimlessly just be shooting, you know, like you in the Wild Wild West, it, you know, in a community, it's a disregard for the human life. And that, to me, it's the evidence that we're a broken people and we're in need of a Savior.
Absolutely. As Pastor Kim would say, you know, we in our last and evil days. You know, I want to talk really quickly. We've talked about this many, 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 many times here on this due time. But we talk about the breakdown and even the church steps thing. You know, the breakdown of, because, I mean, you don't really imagine any old schoolers up on the church steps. Give me a six, give me a seven. You just don't see them. You see, you know, this younger set. And no, I don't know the culprits, but again, we talked about, you know, going back to old school, how, you know, they may not have gone to church, but because they had been taught about God, or, you know, grandma said something, or somebody, you know, said something, or they heard enough to respect even the church. So we're talking about the breakdown of, you know, us going to church and us taking our children to church and us giving our children options of going to church. You know, it's an option to go to church, but it's not an option to go to school. You know, so we have our priorities all twisted, and that's how we get to dice on the steps of the church. That's how we get to graffiti on the walls of the church. That's how we get to, you know, just arbitrarily shooting where there's no regard for anybody who's around. What's your thought, Lady Tamika? We're having audio problems with Lady Tamika this morning. So, Elder Natisha, while Lady Tamika gets herself together over there, what's your thought?
So I'm sorry. What was the question?
It's not a question. It's just a thought. A thought on the breakdown of how we are giving our children options of going to church,
right,
versus going to school, and this is causing the breakdown of now there's dice on the steps of the church, so forth and so on.
Right. Yeah. You know, as a parent, right, and I have these two young adults, I think parenting, this is where you really feel the pressure and the difficulty of parenting, because, you know, while you have your kids under your control, absolutely. My daughters did not have an option. Going to church, as long as you were under our roof, going to church was not an option. We getting up and we're going to church. But then once they started becoming of age, it needed to be their decision. It needed to be their choice. They needed to choose Christ for themselves, and then that's where it begins to get sticky. And I do think that that is the breakdown. That is the moral breakdown of our society, because I think along with this understanding of who God is, we are also made aware and we are taught about how to love one another, how to be considerate, right? How to be a servant, how to not be self-centered and selfish. And so all of these things are now missing as part of the moral construct of the family, because we are allowing our children at earlier ages to make decisions that they're not mature or old enough to make.
Mm.
And I think, you know, the Bible tells us that if you train up a child in the way that they should go, when they get older, they will not depart from it. And I think we have to train our children, right? And training means that we are instilling in them that there will be moments, there will be times, and there will be things that we are emphasizing that must happen that they will not like and they will fight against. But we have to be okay with that. Why? Because we're training our children.
Mm-hmm.
We're training
mm-hmm.
them up in the way that they should go. And then our prayer, once they become of age, is that the word of God is true, and that is
mm-hmm.
that they will not depart from the things that they were taught. Even if
Absolutely.
It's temporarily, you know, that they stray away.
Absolutely.
Even if they stray away temporarily, what we know and what we can trust is that what we put in them ultimately has to come back out.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lady Tamika, are you with us?
I'm here. I apologize. So I want to tune in, of course, or chime in with Elder Natisha. You know, the job of parenthood is a very detailed. It's not something that you just, you know, the child comes here and you just let them do what they want to do. You know, my family has a joke we call it the basics. So what it is just your basic instructions. You know, you can't just you know, allow the child to do whatever it is that they want. You know, there are going to be phases where, you know, the child is not going to like you. And the basic is definitely, you know, church. And you think about it, those are measures when you're pushed and you're stressed, you know, you go to the basics. And when you have that basic instruction, you know, with God, you know, that's where you know to go. You know, we've often talked on this broadcast about, you know, if they had just a little bit of Jesus, just a little bit of, you know, that introduction of where to go when things get rough, you know, that moment of prayer or that moment of solitude or taking that moment and thinking, you know, life would be better. And so, you know, I remember there were times when I did not necessarily like what was being done, but I'm grateful because now those are the things that I cling to. Those are the things that when everything else is failing or when everything else is turning in any other direction than what I needed to, I know to go to God because I was basically instructed. Although at the moment I didn't like it, I learned to absolutely love it, and I now can't do without it.
I like that. You know, when we were on, I think it was Monday, we were all on, and the Due Time crew, and we were talking about not doing something early in life, you know, here it was, you know, not being forced to go to church and not enjoying it and, you know, stepping away or doing it at your leisure. And then, you know, as I'm listening to everyone speak, you know, at the end I was like, well, giving glory to God, because almost every single one said at one point they couldn't take it no more. It was just too much church. It was just too much church. It was church, or church was long, or whatever the situation was. And now everybody's on ministering each and every day. And, you know, that goes back to, you know, what was said. You know, yes, the word of God is true. You may stray away, but hey, you know, those seeds were planted over the time. You know, it was watered and God gave the increase to the point where we're now giving our lives to the Lord, you know, and helping to draw other people. So this is just proof that, you know, if you take that time with your child, odds are they're going to do something with it. It doesn't necessarily mean just because they stepped away for a little bit that, you know, all is lost. And, you know, just keep you, like Elder Natisha said, you just keep your prayer time up. That's the key thing. You just make sure that once they go and they think, you know, that they live in, you know, you now, you know, pray. We talked about that, touching the doors and going in the bedrooms and things like that, you know, all of those things to heighten the effect of your prayer. You know, it's not just, oh, I'm just going to include that in my prayer time, but I'm going to make a designated prayer for my children or the children around me. And, you know, this makes the difference. This really makes a difference. And we, you know, we talk about it a lot, but we can't talk about it enough, to be honest, because first of all, we don't know who's listening. And somebody could be listening for the first time, going through some hardship, you know, with their child, adult child or young child. And, you know, here we are facing, you know, the disruption of the world. We talked yesterday about the distractions of you know, what keeps us from church. So, yes, we got to make sure that their prayer time stays up. We got to make sure we start, you know, from the very beginning, that we introduce our children to Christ very early, so that those seeds get planted very early, very early. Ladies, before we go, because today we're going to get into this the topic that I've been posting for the last 9 weeks that we just never seem to get to because the stories are coming through so heavily. But I want to talk about this Uber thing. This is a very scary, you know, it did not just start. We know that. But I want to talk about us and what we do. You know, Vivian brought up some tips, and that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about why we need these particular tips. And one of the first things I want to talk about is just traveling late at night. Traveling late at night. And I'm not going to start. I'm going to give you the opportunity to start, Elder Natisha. Just traveling late at night where we need an Uber or a Lyft.
Yeah, see, in my day, you know, we did. And when I was hanging out and I was in the world, we traveled in packs. You know, we didn't separate. We traveled together, and we all came from the same neighborhood. So, you know, I mean, you may have had to walk maybe a block or something like that by yourself in the early 2-3 o'clock in the morning and things of that nature. But I do think, you know, it's a different day. And you know, we are now, because Uber and Lyft wasn't around. So we were taking the train at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. But we were a pack. We were together. And if someone dared to try to do anything, that person was getting jumped. Like, they was getting a full beat down. but I do think that still, you know, one of the things that needs to be added as a safety tip, right, that when you're traveling, travel with a buddy, travel together, you know. There was this, and I never forgot this because it really made me think. When I was living in Pennsylvania, there was this movement called Take Back the Night, and it was initiated by college girls. And pretty much the premise of it was that young college girls on college campuses were saying that, you know, there was a high incidence of young girls being raped because they were walking, you know, late at night throughout the campus. And that was used, like, in some of the defenses to say, well, you had no business out there late at night. And I think there's a problem with that understanding that, you know, I deserve to be raped. I deserve to be stabbed. I deserve to be murdered. I deserve what I get because I'm outside at a particular time. That has been used as defense in court trials, you know, and specifically in rape cases, to suggest that, oh, well, you wouldn't have been raped if you wasn't out so late, or if your shirt wasn't so short, your skirt wasn't so short, then these things wouldn't have happened to you. And so the premise of these young women getting together saying, we're going to take back the night, is to say, how dare you suggest that it's okay for this to happen to me simply because I'm going about my business at whatever time I'm going about my business. And I think that's something to consider. I don't know. I'm not suggesting, you know, one way or the other, whether or not it's, you know, you just bring your behind in the house at a certain time. I think, you know, there are people that work overnight. There are people that work at late night in restaurants and things of that nature. And if they're taking an Uber or a Lyft or public transportation at 12 midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, then they're doing what they have to do. You got single parents that choose to be home during the day so that they are able to be available for their children, and then they choose to work at night, which causes them to be traveling late at night. And so this idea, you know, that we just, you know, can't be out late at night, I don't know that that's the answer either. Again, for me, it's a matter of us living in a broken world, broken system, and so we have to be vigilant about our safety and all of the safety tips, letting people know where you are, you know, being accountable to you know, now it's not just, you know, I'm 30 years old and I still got to tell my mother where I'm at. Now it's about safety. Let your mother, husband, boyfriend, let somebody, your sister, your cousin, let somebody know that, hey, I'm leaving work now, I'm leaving the club now, I'm ready to jump into this Lyft or this Uber. I should be home in 15 minutes. Because if I'm not home in 15 minutes, then I want you to know that there's a problem and that you can alert authorities or whatever as soon as possible. I mean, that's my thought on it.
All righty. Lady Tamika, what's your thought on these tips and, you know, how we can enhance our safety?
I think I'm always chiming in with Elder Natisha, and I really do agree with that. I know a lady who was raped in a Uber in the middle of the day. She actually had a lower extremity issue, which is why she got in the Uber to begin with, and he took her disability to his advantage. He climbed in the back of the vehicle and raped her in his vehicle. And so, wow. You know, the thing about it is it's the mindset of that individual to have the authority or possession to overrule you. You know, and so, you know, it has no regard to what you look like, what you're dressed like, you know. If that's his mindset, you know, that's what he's going to do. And unfortunately, you know, women across the land and country have been victims of someone's demented mind. And so there are things that you can do. You know, your best to your ability, you know, get in contact, you know. I have never been in an Uber without somebody knowing that I'm in the Uber, you know. And even in some instances, I have a friend of mine who we kind of do a check-in thing. He'll pay for my Uber so that he knows exactly where I am. And then at that point, you know, he knows, okay, the vehicle stopped. Why did the vehicle stop? He'll text or call, are you okay? You know, and then I'll give him the money back. But he has the line of where I am. Tell your friends where you're going. You know, tell them how long it's going to take you from getting from one point to another point. If the Uber stops and there's no need for him to stop, you get out of the vehicle. Don't be ashamed to actually verbalize, you know, be clear, you know. And I like that fact, and I'm glad that Elder Natisha brought that up. We did back in the day. We came together. We never, so if you're going to mess with one, you're going to mess with all of us, not just one. You're going to get a beat down. And I think it is important for us to let somebody, don't just be an island, let somebody know what you're doing, where you're going. How, you know, I remember back in the day when we did blind dates, we told somebody, or we went out into a public place, don't find yourself in a small setting by yourself. You know, it is very important. You know, nowadays everybody's in their phone. Look around. Pay attention to where you are. Look at what you're doing. You know, keep your eye contact. You know, the couple of times that I have been in the Uber, I'm always looking at the driver, trying to see, you know, what are you doing? You know, making sure that you're going on the streets that we're supposed to. I look down at my phone to double check and make sure you're on the same road that my Uber is saying. We have to be very, very conscious.
Yeah. Okay. As you ladies were talking, my mind is going. And I'm just of a different, I don't know, my speech these days are different than my speech was years ago. I guess for me, it's never an inference that there are no freaks in the daytime. But the freaks do come out at night. And yes, we do need to be more careful at night, where the activity level is a lot less, where it's a lot more, what's the word I want to use? There's not as many people around. People try things more at night because they understand that during the day, during the busy hours, I would like to take a check the survey for the amount of crime that takes place at night versus what takes place during the daytime. Am I saying that nothing happens during the daytime? Do people get raped? Listen, we just got finished a couple of weeks ago talking about the person in broad daylight who got out of his car, snatched a kid from right in front of his mother. When have we ever got that brazen, period? Even at nighttime, you don't even know these people. You've never heard of anybody jumping out or snatching up a kid in front of their parents. And this was in broad daylight. What do we think happens at night? What do you think happens at night? There's a reason why the song says the freaks come out at night. Oh, it happens. So we need to press. Yes, if you and let's go back a little bit. If you're at a job, if there's an emergency, absolutely, we're out there. We're doing what we need to do. We're taking care of business. All of us are innocent. As long as we're not committing a crime, we're innocent, and we should be able to travel and maneuver and do whatever we want to do at any time of the day, because as long as we're not doing anything illegal, we should be fine. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. Don't bother me. I'm in my house. I'm going to my house. I'm minding my business. Leave me alone. Is that what goes on? No, absolutely not. So we're not talking about the people who are actually doing something, making a living. But if you out there just chilling, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to tell my three girls, you need to find your way to wherever you're going to be as early as you need to be to lessen the opportunity for these freaks and crazy people out here to get to you. That's what I'm telling them. Because you don't need to be out there just because it's just too much. I'm sorry we're living in this kind of world. I'm sorry that you need to, you know, if you're traveling in packs, absolutely, because both of you are correct. We never went out alone years ago. Never. We were always with someone else. We were always with a pack of people. We were always doing something together. That alone traveling and things like that, that was a rare occasion. Now, because of Ubers and Lyfts and, you know, everybody's kind of moving around, we tend to be alone a lot more often. Does that make us a heavy prey? Absolutely. You could have on a sheepskin coat, a wool hat, UGG boots, and be covered up. It doesn't lessen the opportunity or the interest. If they want you, they want you. They don't care. So I think we do need to press. If you're out there just because you want to be out there, you're going to run a higher risk of someone attacking you. So you know what? You might want to get somewhere and get settled a little earlier. Again, should we have to tell our kids this or other people, or should we have to be on that kind of alert? Absolutely not. And it's sad that we have to do that, especially if it's just we're living life, especially if we're just doing stuff where we're just enjoying ourselves. But unfortunately, we're not living in a world like that anymore. And we have to be on a safer side. Ah, I see a number here. It's time for Techie Talk. Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good morning.
How are you? How are you?
I'm fine. I'm doing
That's
great.
That's good. Yes. What you got for us today?
Well, yesterday was my anniversary for a two-year anniversary, and my birthday was yesterday, 59 years of age.
Congratulations and happy birthday to you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Happy birthday.
Is that a techie information?
Yes, we do. Well, no, that's not the techie
Is that part of it? Is that some techie talk?
Oh, man, but I do have something for you, though. So, do not throw away those old laptops and desktops. I got something for you. Steph, you know me. I'm going to find something.
What you got? All right.
I just posted it on Coach for a Christian Life Facebook page. You're welcome to go there and check it out for those listeners out there who have that access to the page. It's called Extra PC, XTRA-PC. And it's a flash drive device that has an operating system called Linux built into it. And how it works is that you take this little flash drive and you put it in your USB port of any old desktop or any old laptop, and you boot off of it, meaning that you start the computer with it plugged in. And it will bring up all of your files and folders. It's extremely fast. Okay, and it works very good. Linux is an operating system, kind of like Windows is an operating system. The Mac OS is an operating system. These are software that help you communicate, you as a human, communicate with the device. I know you've heard of iOS devices, which is the iPhone, and you have the Windows devices and things like that. These are operating systems that speak for you. Take human communication, turns it into ones and zeros, to binary code, and operates the entire device for you. So this little device, they run anywhere from about, $30-something dollars up until about $79, depending on the size flash drive that you want. You can save to it. You can transfer files to it. But it's great. It's really great. It's worth taking a look into. And again, you don't have to throw away your old laptops or desktops. See if you can invest into this extra PC device and see how it works for you. I think it'll be great.
Wow. Well, it's nice to know that we can refurbish our own stuff. Nice. Okay.
Well, less than $100, you could do it, yes.
Wow, that is fantastic. That's fantastic because a lot of times we're putting our money into these devices and then something goes wrong and it's like a piece of junk over in the corner. So it's nice to know that we can bring some life back to our electronics. Well,
yes.
Dwayne, you have something for us. And we thank you on Wednesdays. And today we have something for you.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. So just hang on.
Okay.
You can reach him by email. Send your issue via regular mail. You can reach him on Facebook. You can call him on the phone. Tell him all about your internet. Your technological issues he will fix.
Yes.
Talking about Techie Talk, man. Happy birthday, Dwayne. There are hills and mountains between us, but still our God, he is able. May he give you peace and equip you with better. Oh,
all right.
so
you
much greater. May his perfect will direct your life. Give
yes.
you peace and make you free from strife. Happy birthday, Dwayne McLeese, from Pastor Stefan. It's due time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness gracious.
Oh, that
goodness.
Was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're
my
welcome.
Goodness.
Oh, my wife said that was beautiful. Oh, my God. That
well,
was
happy
much,
birthday.
Nice surprise. Thank
That's
you
good.
So much.
You're welcome. Good.
Oh,
happy
God
birthday
bless you all
to
for that.
You. Happy anniversary to you and Ladina. And we pray for many, 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 many more.
Oh,
thank
you.
You're welcome. Love you much, and thank you for always feeding us and giving us all of those techie tips, and we surely appreciate you.
Oh, anytime, sis, anytime. God bless you all, and thank you again.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you. Have a blessed one.
Okay.
All righty. Okay, before we go into our topic that we're getting to today, there's a comment from a listener. Let's say good morning to Shantese. Good morning, Shantese.
Good morning, ladies.
How are you?
Good morning.
Morning.
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. Good, thank you. We got a comment from the listener.
Yes. Okay, so a listener sent in. We live in a fallen world, and we have to move as such until Jesus comes back. That's why when my friend checks my location, I'm learning to keep my mouth shut, and I am diligent on being home before it gets dark if I'm alone or have no ride. If I have to Uber, once the Uber gets off what I know to be the way home, I'm taking over.
Okay. Thank you, listener. Thank you, Shantese, for relaying that message for us. All right. I love your participation. Thank you so much. We're going to make sure we post those tips on Coach for Christian Life. We could never be too careful out here. And, paying attention is a key thing. A lot of times we're in these cars and we just ain't paying no mind. So let's talk about, ladies, we're missing our Pastor Kim today, and we're going to talk about this post that I've been putting up for like the past 5 weeks, and Vivian's stories have been so interesting. We've just kind of made a whole episode out of that. But this week I said I'm going to get this off so I can stop posting this. And we're talking about the effects of sin on our life, in our life. What kind of effect does sin have in our life? And, we have a little bit of time, and I know you ladies will do us well. And it talks about that sin in our life will rob us of joy. Elder Natisha, take us away, please.
Sure. What sin is, in its most simplistic concept, is separation from God. Sin separates us from God. And when you are separated from God, then the ability to have a joy that surpasses the effects of this world, the impact of life, becomes very, difficult to try to hold on to. It's the reason why we kind of sink into depressions and sink into, like anxieties and different things that are able to grab a hold of us, because it's already difficult for us. Those who are, trying to stay connected to God and not allow sin, our sinful nature, to cause that separation. It's already difficult enough, you know, when we experience the ups and downs and the ebbs and flows of life. And so to do it separated from God, trying to function in your sin, in your own ability, makes it that much more difficult. And so joy suffers as a result of that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Lady Tamika, what would you like to say regarding sin robs us of our joy?
I like to make sin visual. You know, I like to use examples. Let's just imagine that sin is like I don't know if people remember the blob. The blob was this little, it started off as this little small thing, and it just kept growing and growing, and it was just, it was kind of, it had no arms or legs. It's just, it started off kind of like a little smudge, and then it became just this big blob of, you can imagine Play-Doh just growing and growing and growing. And a lot of times what we do with sin, especially in life, we try to hide it. So let's just imagine, you know, it's on your clothing. You can't cover it. You can't, you know, you try your best to put your arm over the smudge, but it just continues to grow. And the more you keep yourself away from those who can pray for you, those who can guide you, meaning the church, those that are in the body of Christ, those that are living that life, you know, it makes it more difficult. And you trying to hide it is stressful. You know, you trying to cover up or be one way when you're around them, you know, and then try and cover up your sin. It's impossible. You know, and so you become more and more withdrawn. You get to the point where you stay more by yourself, and your life is more unpleasant than pleasant, because you're trying your best to live the life or even pretend that you're joyful in the midst of your life. But in actuality, sin becomes, it just keeps growing more and more the more you stay away from the body of Christ and the more you stay away from God.
All righty. I'm looking at some other things on this list, and it says that the effect of sin is that it hinders our fellowship with God. Ooh, Elder Nightisha.
Yeah, I mean, because when we, you know, so for so many reasons, it hinders our fellowship with God. One, you know, when we sink into sin, then we pretty much, you know, give room for the enemy to overwhelm us with condemnation, which causes us to want to shy away from the things of God. So we won't pray, right? We aren't talking to our brothers and sisters in the faith that would remind us of who we are and of the commitment that we've made as Christ followers, right? We tend to shy away from listening to our worship music. And because we are now in this place of, you know, I'm doing me, or I'm, you know, you're feeling condemnation because you may have fallen, you may have slipped up into something by making a conscious decision to slip up into something. People say, oh, I slipped up. A slip up is a conscious decision. You made a decision in that.
Wow.
In that slip up. And so I think, you know, that just, it causes us to miss out on the things that would build us up. That's what fellowship with God does. Fellowship with God builds us up in our spirit realm, and it allows us to have strength and to have more willpower and to allow the Holy Spirit to be our guide. And so when we are not in fellowship with Christ, then we are able to give in more and more to our sinful nature.
All righty. Lady Tamika, hinders our fellowship with God. That sin, will it do it?
Yes, it will. And whether we label it or not, you know, being in the household of faith with those believers, it's the same thing as what people call accountability partners. You know, you check in on Sundays or Wednesdays, or, you know, it's a beautiful thing to have the fellowship. The fellowship is necessary because you don't know what somebody is going through. And the fellowship is what, you know, I remember testimony services, the real, let's talk about the real testimony services when people really genuinely, because there's a difference. There's a difference. I want to be very clear.
Absolutely.
Real, genuine testimony service when people genuinely told you, I have an issue. I'm dealing with this and I need help. And people genuinely said, you know, I went through that. And so it's a beautiful thing to be able to align with someone who knows your struggle, who can talk you through it, who can walk you through it, who can pray you through it. And it's a beautiful thing. But, you know, when you decide to make that conscious decision to do otherwise, you find yourself more and more away from that and more to yourself, you know. And when you allow yourself, you know, that idle mind, you know, you allow all types of things to distract you, and you find yourself doing more of other things, listening to the radio, not listening to your gospel, reading books that have nothing to do with the Word of God, you know, aligning with people who are not like-minded. They have no idea, no desire for God, and they wouldn't instruct you in any way to lead you back to God.
All righty. Let's take a split here. Elder Nitesha, the effect of sin causes us to become fearful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. You know, to me, this traces back to this idea of, you know, how, because fear can rule in so many different places in our lives. It can rule with how we govern our children, the advice we give to our children, how we live our lives. You have people that have made a decision that because we live in a fallen world, like, they're not going to go outside, period. You have social anxiety that is on the rise because fear has taken over. You have constantly, everything about the media is to ignite fear, right? The constant, revealing of the news about all of the dangers that are existing in this world. And it doesn't mean that they don't exist. They do exist. But I also think that there's a part of us that, you know, have to really understand that God created us for a purpose, and with that purpose, like, God is our protector. That when I entered in salvation with God, I didn't just enter into salvation with a punk God or a weak God that was void of power, that was void of the ability to protect me. You know, no, I entered into relationship with the God who has all power, with the God who can stop evil, with the God that was able to conquer death, that went down to hell and snatched the keys out of hell, and that, you know, allowed me to be able to live life and live it abundantly as he ordained for me to live. And so, you know, when we are in our sinful nature and when we are not operating in faith, then everything scares us. We are scared of our problems. We're unable to step out and to try new things and to face challenges. Part of being a woman of God, like my ability to walk with God and how I trust God today is because I boldly took risks. I boldly stepped out into the unknown. I ventured out into spaces and places that I didn't even know I had skill sets for until I got there. And realized that there were some things that I didn't learn in school, but there were some innate giftings, some spiritual giftings that were birthed in me simply because I gave my trust over to the Lord and because I made a decision to follow him. And so as a woman and as a man of God, no, we don't operate. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And a sound mind means that it is above the things of this world. We can't be moved by all of the news stories that we hear. We can't be moved right? Doesn't mean we operate in the lack of wisdom. We utilize wisdom. God gives us wisdom, but we definitely, we don't move in fear. We don't allow fear to be the thing that causes us to teach our kids and to and how we give advice to our friends and different things of that nature and how we live our lives. No, we are to be bold and courageous in the things of the Lord and how he leads us and how he directs us, understanding that we are here because he intended for us to be here. And our belief is that when a person, you know, unfortunately, we the Romans tells us that there are some of us that were made for noble things, and there are some of us that are made just for unnoble things, for simple things. We have no clear understanding of why God chooses, how he chooses, and what he chooses. But we walk by faith and not by sight, and so fear is not a part of that equation.
All righty. Lady Tamika, the effect of sin robs us of our peace.
The gift of the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And so when we have a comforter, if we look at a visual comforter, you know, there's warmth. There's security, there's protection from anything. You know, when I leave my home, I am covered by the comforter, who is my keeping power, my sustaining force, you know. So I have no idea when I leave my home what is out there for me, you know, but I know who's holding my hand. And the absence of belief and faith causes you to fear. You know, there's so many things out there that can make you fearful. We've often, you know, every day we're talking about, you know, things that are happening out in the world. We just talked about a man who killed, you know, we just talked about a man yesterday, I believe, who killed his whole entire family, wife, child, you know, and, you know, those are the things that happen. However, I am covered. I am safe by God. And the more I believe and the more I continue to have that faith, it keeps me governed. And, you know, I don't worry about the things that are happening. Yes, it's going to happen. However, I know that my safety is in God.
Okay. Let's see where we're going from here. Okay, let's take this one. The effect of sin makes our Bible study become unfruitful. How about that one, Elder Natisha?
Yeah, I mean, because how can you, if you're not leaning into the Holy Spirit, which is where our understanding, you know, first, let me start here. Reading the Bible, studying God's word, like that is not just a logical exercise. I think we see, like, atheists can study the Bible. You can have worldly people or people who don't necessarily believe as we believe can study the Bible, and there is an intent for why they are studying the Bible. They're either studying the Bible to disprove it, they're studying the Bible to try to point out whatever contradictions they feel exist in the Bible. So for those of us who, you know, are in the faith, we understand that we need the Holy Spirit to be a part of the process of our study. That this is not just about us looking at the word and interpreting it logically, but it is also about our ability to allow the Spirit of God to give us insight into it for clear understanding. And so, you know, when we are out of alignment with God, and again, it's a mindset. It's where we are in a particular state. If I'm, you know, active in sin, right, because we're all sinful, and we want to make that clear. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, the Bible says. But we're talking about that active participation in sin, the deliberate decision to be functioning in sin. that causes us, again, to be separated from God. And in that separation from God, we find ourselves unable to really grasp, right, because we don't want to because of our current state. If I'm fornicating because I'm in love, you know, it's going to be difficult for me to read the Bible to understand or to try to grasp its truth about how I'm living my life right now, if this is where I choose to be right now. And so what I will do, two things, either I'm going to shy away from reading the Bible or I'm going to read the Bible and say, oh, look, here's a loophole to how I want to live my life. And so I'm going to read the Bible not according to how God is instructing my life, but according to how my life, and then my life determines and interprets the Bible. Instead of the Bible reading us, we will allow us to read the Bible. And that many people
right.
find that so often.
What was the last piece you said, Elder Natisha?
No, I was going on and on and on. It's okay.
Oh, okay. We don't want to miss anything. We don't want to miss anything. All righty. Lady Tamika, the Bible becomes unfruitful. That studying is like what? At what point?
So we've often heard that the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth. The Bible is your map. It's your rule book. It's your guideline. And so when we have those type of issues, we'll gloss over. You know, it's kind of funny. You'll read passages that don't necessarily apply to the heart or the depth of the situation that you're dealing with. You know, we have a lot of areas where we have difficulty, you know, anger. You know, the Bible often speaks about anger. If you are a jealous type of person, the Bible speaks about that. You know, a woman who is contentious, you know, you just a nagging woman, you know. There are so many different things that, so if that is the heart of your issue, you choose to gloss over other areas. And even in some instances, you try to make yourself look better because, oh, that situation doesn't apply to you, but everything in the Bible applies to all of us and in every degree. And so we need to acknowledge, okay, here's an area that I struggle with. And when we get to that point, God, help me with this area because I don't want to continue to live my life that way. And God has the key. That's the whole purpose for the basic instructions before leaving Earth.
All righty. Okay, ladies, we're going to close with this one. The effect of sin will take away our excitement. Elder Natisha.
Because you broke up a little bit. It'll take away our fun and excitement.
Excitement.
Okay, so sin will take away our excitement.
Yes.
I mean, our excitement in terms of the things of God, because you can be in sin and be excited, right?
Well, since we're talking about the negative effects of sin, we should go with the excitement of our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
That's where my head goes.
Yeah, and for that. Gotcha. Yeah, no, but I wanted to bring that out there, right, because I'm sure that there are people who are listening. I was always one of those people, Pastor Steph. Like, I wasn't always spiritual, and so when I would be sitting in church, people would make these statements about, oh, my miserable life of sin, and I'm sitting here saying, I can't say I was miserable in my life of sin.
Absolutely. I got to agree.
I wanted to kind of bring that out there because, again, I feel like we have an array of listeners, and not everyone has the experience to understand that, you know, excitement, you know, yes, there is an excitement that takes place, right, in that fallen state, but there's nothing like the excitement of life and purity and holiness and joy and freedom in God. And so, you know, when you are separated again, to me, you leave way, room for the enemy to enter into spaces where he does not belong. And the Bible tells us that when one spirit comes in, one demon comes in, that they are followed by so many others, several others, that ends up impacting and affecting us in ways that we don't always identify as demonic. We don't identify, and I remember a time, right, when the old church called everything a demon. You know, the demon was making me late today for work. Like, we called everything a demon. But I do think that it is important for us to still be aware of the fact that, you know, that lack of excitement due to the fact that you are in your sin, it drains you of all of the gifts that we have inherited by being children of God. There are things that come along with our yes to God, and excitement is one of them. The reason why every time you hear me, I always sound so excitement, you know, even when I'm not preaching, I'm just talking, and there's an excitement, is because I mean this thing. I'm excited about God and who he is and who he has been and what he has done and what he is doing and what he is going to do. And sin, it robs our eyesight. It stops us from being able to see how God is impacting our life today and how he's going to impact it tomorrow.
All righty. Lady Tamika, how are we closing down today regarding the effects of sin will rob us of our excitement?
I want to start off with an example. We have different members of It's Due Time, and we are all over the state and country. And honestly, I have only physically seen three of the Due Time members, but there is a joy that we have. You know, we talk by phone, sometimes we have talked by Zoom, or we'll send each other messages back and forth through Facebook, and that's because we all know who we serve, and the love of your brother and sister, because you know that God is your head. You know, it's just a beautiful thing. I find that when you lack that, you kind of hide in yourself, and you become discouraged from aligning yourself with those who know the word for strengthening purposes, because each one of us has a strength in an area. We also have a weakness in an area, and aligning with our brother and sister in Christ is a beautiful thing, knowing that God is ahead. And when you find yourself getting to that point where you want to be alone, notice it as a sign. You know, when you're uncomfortable around your brothers and sisters in Christ, you might want to seek, you know, just have a little bit more solitude time with the Lord. Ask the Lord, you know, what is it that I need to know about myself? And one of the things that I love about God is that he will allow you to, he will reveal yourself to you. You know, he doesn't have to tell everybody else. He'll let you know about you. And then at that point, you can get the steps to get yourself better.
You okay over there?
I am. I'm sorry. Now and then. I'm here. My signal fails and comes. I apologize.
Oh, no. I didn't know if you had was choked. If you got choked up. But thank you. Thank you, ladies, for doing a fantastic job as always. And we're talking about the effects of sin in our life, a topic that kind of been chasing us for a minute, but we got through it well, as always. Thank you so much for your contribution today. We miss Pastor Kim, and we hope that she'll be joining us soon, but God always leaves us with enough to get his message done well. Have a blessed one, ladies.
You as
thank
well
you, you
have
too.
A wonderful day, ladies.
Thank you. All righty. We've reached the moment of our Wow Wednesday, where we get our Faith Over Fear segment. And let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. Good morning, ladies and the listeners. How are y'all today?
Oh, well, thank you. Well, thank you. So, you've been with us from the beginning. We've discussed news. We've discussed the effects of sin in our life. So, I'm going to leave the floor open for something that may have struck you that you want to give us our Faith Over Fear segment on today. What you got for us?
Well, I just wanted to say, I apologize, the phone is ringing. I just wanted to say, as far as the fear part, I'm going to gather a little bit of, I'm going to try to mix it together. Talking about the sin, I was thinking about when the ladies was talking about of all the different ways of how we sin, you know, and how we sin, and a lot of times we go because of fear in it too. Sin can be a fearful thing because we have been taught that, you know, when we was talking about far as the children, you know, teaching them, you know, what they see, you know, we got to practice what we preach, you know, showing them that you don't have to live this way. You don't have to accept these things. You don't have to be in these situations, you know. So in our fearful time, you know, because our parents, you know, were accustomed of one way and how we have, you know, in this day and time, how things have changed, you know, fear jumps up a lot. So we're that. We do have to be able to walk by faith and not by sight. We do have to be able to live what we preach about. We have to be able to live what we are telling our children, because a lot of times what's happening is that we tell people, even in the church, we get up and we preach and we tell people not to do this, and this is sinful, and this is where fear will jump in, and we're not living. You know, we're not being that example. We're not showing them that, you know, we are living what God has called us to live, what the Bible is telling us what we should and should not do. So a lot of times that, you know, going back even to the part of them shooting dice in front of the church, I do remember where you went and walked on the other side because you might have, you know, a taste that we used to call it back in the day. Well, get drunk, really what it was. And we would go on the other side of the street, or we wouldn't even walk in that block because, you know, we were fearful of seeing a neighbor or knowing somebody that knew our mother, that knew, you know, might not know her personally but had a friend, you know. So fearful, we know that no fear is love, you know, and we know that the only perfect love is only but Christ. And, you know, we know that his love will cast out the fear, because if we continue to run into his arms, you know, like the Bible tells us, if God is for us, who can be against us? So therefore that we got to get on the Lord's side and know that we can conquer all fears of whatever, even going back into getting into the Ubers and, what is it, Lyft. You know, I have gotten into that, and I have felt, you know, a little uncomfortable of being in the car. So I thank you, Vivian, for giving those tips. It was only one that I did not do, and that was to check to see if they had the child lock on it, you know. And I would start to pray, and I would start, you know, talking about Jesus even to the driver, you know, just bringing up a conversation to bring Christ in to conquer that fear. There was, you know, was always something, you know, that might not have felt right, you know. And I thought about that even if I go to it, because it took me to the little boy that was on the news when he started to sing when they had kidnapped him and they dropped him off and they didn't do anything to him, you know. And I thought about that, because when we call on the name of Jesus, you know, and have that faith and know that he is with us, that we can conquer all things. We know that we are more than a conqueror, and we know that our faith, that he will be able to open up that door, but because we know that only Christ, what we do for Christ will last, and we know that if we have the word embedded into us and be able to quote those scriptures and be able to say it, and where that it will
have the enemy be confused. So if he thought about coming up on you, you know that the enemy will flee. I remember one time I was walking down this block, and I didn't even know Christ like I know him now. And I just started because it was something that I didn't know what was about to come up against me. And I found out that these people were going to rob me. And I just started just saying the blood of Jesus. And I was just saying, Jesus, Jesus, you know, if you real, you know, right now I need you, because I saw them coming towards me. And then once it was like you saw grace and mercy on the side of me. And they ran across the street to the other side. They didn't even come upon me. But I found out that they got somebody else later on after I got home. And this was close to my house. So I know that we can conquer all things. And I thank God that God continues to show me more and more, you know, about this segment right here, Faith Over Fear, because I was able to even continue to keep going on. Because I can't minister to nobody else. I can't tell nobody else about it if I don't believe it myself. And I am a true believer because so many things is coming upon, you know, so we continue to press forward. When you get in them Ubers, when you got to be able to walk down the block, call on, start singing. That's what I do sometimes. I'll start singing a song. I start calling on Jesus, and I'll start saying, see, do you believe Jesus? Because just as well as crazy come to you, show them that you're crazy about the Lord. Do you know Jesus when you think that they're coming up upon you? Do you know about Christ? Believe me, they will leave you alone. They will continue to keep forward. So you continue to press forward and continue to believe that there is none other. Because if you believe it yourself and receive it yourself, you're able to share with somebody else and let them know that God is able to do all things. And he's able to tear down every sin that you have. All you got to do is lay it at his feet and trust and believe that you don't want to do it no more. You are not going to go to that direction. You're not going to be around that place, people or things, and know that all is possible when you trust and believe in him and know that God is real and that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and know that God has you in his arms at all times. He walks with you and he talks with you. So continue to press forward and know that your faith can override your fear at all times in any situation or wherever that you are. That is my faith over fear on today.
Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor Charlene, for our Faith Over Fear segment to close us out one more Wow Wednesday. Have a blessed one.
You all do the same. You do, Pastor Steph. God bless you all.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So let's get this benediction. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. Ah, we've had some kind of conversation here today. You know, I was thinking about, you know, what stuck a pin in me was when Elder Natisha said that sometimes, you know, back in the day when you'd hear those testimonies and people would say, you know, oh, I've been living a miserable life. And I thought the same thing she thought. I was like, that was kind of fun. And even recently, it was something that came across my head. And it was weird because I said to myself, I want to do such and such a thing. And then I had to, like, catch myself. And I said, Stephanie, what is that? No, that was not something that, you know, you enjoyed. You know, when you look back over your life and you think about where God has brought you from, you know, it felt fun. It felt good. It was there was an enjoyment and excitement in living that way. And this is how you can see people just staying here, staying in that sinful mode. Because you look at them and you're like, y'all having a good time? And to them, they are. There's this excitement about being in the world, about serving the enemy, and they don't look at it as though they're serving the enemy. No, they're just having a good old time. But I think it was yesterday that I said, you know, I wanted to remind everybody that, you know, when you're, God says, listen, it's either one side or the other. You're either for me or you're against me. So we do have to watch our excitement level. We do have to watch what we enjoy because that makes the difference in our life. You know, we talked at one point on here about backsliding. And one of the reasons why is because, again, like yesterday, we talked about the distractions. These things that just take up our headspace, our life, and we end up, in, quote, unquote, enjoying, you know, the things that we're doing and the environment we're in and the people we're around. And, you know, it just becomes so comfortable to just kind of ride right there. You know, just I'm going to sit right here and enjoy this part. But when you think about the true excitement that only God can bring, that only Jesus can give you, it makes the difference. It makes every bit of difference. When I compare the two, I can't even compare the two, if you will, because I realize that living in that manner robbed me of peace. There was no peace in my life. I was always, at one point, I was always waiting for the shoe to drop. I was always like, okay, well, what's going to happen next? Yeah, I'm feeling good now. But something's going to come up that's going to mess around and just take away my peace. You know, you don't know the true joy. You don't know what joy is until you have just embraced God in its entirety. Not just this little piece, you know, I'm going to go to church every once in a while. I'm going to read my Bible every once in a while. I'm going to pray every once in a while. No, 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 no. You really get to know what that is when you put both feet, both hands, your body, your neck, your head, your ears, when everything is just eating and absorbing every bit of God. When you're reading that Bible and it just brings you comfort, when you're just reading the Word of God, or when you're talking to someone and you're talking about the goodness of God. I know Pastor Charlene and I get into that conversation all the time. You know, we no matter when we talk, no matter how short the conversation may be, we always start exchanging the goodness of the Lord. And the more she talk and throw out something, you know, it fuels me. And the more I talk and I throw out something, it fuels her. And the joy of the Lord just continues to engulf every part of you, embraces every part of you as you embrace him. You don't allow things to hinder the fellowship. No, you crave for that. You know, I don't want to go out here and do this. I don't want to go out here and do that, which is a lot of times, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't even want to leave my house, daytime or nighttime. Leave Stephanie at home, because when I look around and I see what people call excitement and having a good time, and that's just not where I am anymore. And I never drank. I never smoked. I was never out there like that. But I did, you know, mix around, and, you know, I had, quote-unquote, a good time and things like that, but it's just not there anymore because, you know, my fellowship with God is bigger than anything I could get out here and do, even on a job. I would just want to be with God's people. You know, we haven't quite resumed attendance live, person to person. But for the past couple of weeks, the Lord's been telling me fellowship. Get them here just to get them again in the company of one another. And that fellowship is so crucial to our existence, because a lot of times when we step away, that's when the distractions don't become a distraction. They become a way of living. And we don't want to get so far away from God that we just continue to drift away from God, because that's how it goes down. Oh, yeah, you don't just wake up one day and you're just not there anymore. No, this is something that's been happening. And when you look around, the disconnect has become greater. And your excitement for the Lord has lessened. And you've seen it happen. You've seen it happen to other people. I've watched people right here in church. You know, at one point they were excited, and then you look, they're sitting here every week. Just sitting here, just head to the side, no vibrance, no energy. And I'm like, okay, well, so what's happening? Oh, nothing. And then when it's all said and done, when you start digging deeper, you start seeing the differences. You know, oh, they don't hang out with the church people anymore. You know, no, they're hanging out with the people at the job, and they're not doing the things with the, you know, church anymore. They're doing things outside, and these things have become distractions. And, you know, now you become, engulfed and embraced in the world, and you've gone backwards, and you didn't see it coming because it's gradual. A lot of times it ain't coming smacking you up in the face. It's them little steps and those little stages that just become different. And we want to make sure that we protect and guard ourselves. Make sure you stay in the Lord. Make sure you get to that Bible study. Make sure you go to service every week, whether it's Zoom or, you know, live service. Make sure you stay prayerful. Make sure you watch your company. All of these things matter. Every bit of it does. Please do not think that oh, this is just a little thing. Oh, this is just a small thing. Oh, this doesn't matter. I've seen it. I've watched it. I've heard it. And when you look around and you look up, you're like, well, how did I get here? You know, Shanti's always laughs because that's my tagline these days. How we get here? Because it's that gradual, progressive thing that kind of sneaks up on you. It's innocent at first, and now all of a sudden, we ain't who we used to be no more. We doing and saying things that we didn't anymore. So we want to make sure that in our Christian walk, we don't step out of line. Yes, will we trip and fall? Absolutely. We're not going to be perfect. God ain't promised none of us perfection. We should always be in a striving mode until the day God closes our eyes. And that's what we're focusing on. And this way, the effects of sin will not catch up to us. We'll always be running. We'll always be running for the Lord. We'll always be running toward Christ. We'll always be thinking and walking and talking, and every bit of our actions will be focused on the Lord. Does it mean you can't have a wholesome good time? Absolutely not. But it'll all have its place in your life. And I already know where I need to be and where I don't need to be, and we all should have that. And I know if I stick close to God, I'm going to know what those pitfalls are, and I won't be stepping on any landmines if I can help it. All right? So let's keep that as in the forefront of our minds. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my ladies and my due time crew for joining me today and making it a spectacular episode. episode, as always. And I want to thank you for listening and hanging out with us and sending in your comments. We so appreciate you being a part of the conversation. Please, please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to you. Until tomorrow, God spares our lives with Therapeutic Thursday. Ah, I love you.